You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Good Monday afternoon to you, Kansas City. Let's check in with our Arizona Bureau.
Hi.
How you doing down there?
Doing good.
What city are you in? Phoenix? Where are you?
We're in the Phoenix Scottsdale area. Yes.
Okay. So I don't care about what you're doing. I know it's sitting by the pool and playing golf and everything, but at least you're still joining us on the show. I must ask, in these weird times, how was the flight?
Fantastic.
Tell me more.
In fact, I think more people would fly if they could figure out how to make it this way permanently and stop shoving hundreds of people on each flight. So everyone wore a mask.
Everybody wore a mask.
Everybody wore a mask, and the middle seat has to remain open. And so you're spread out in a way that makes it appealing. It's not, you know, you're not shoved in there 2 inches next to some stranger. It was fantastic.
But wait, did every time somebody coughed, did you think to yourself, oh, somebody's going to get their ass kicked?
No, nobody coughed. It was quiet. I slept the whole time, Scott. It was quiet. It was, you know, there's no drink service. There's no, you sit down, put your seatbelt on, that thing took off, and that was it. No one talked. There was no, you know, with a mask on, it's hard to
chit-chat. There's no drink service. They're not giving you any food.
Nope.
Huh. How many people were on the flight, would you guess?
Probably 80 people from Kansas City to Dallas, and then we stayed on the plane. Everyone got off. And then maybe 50 people rejoined for the Dallas to Phoenix leg. Hmm. And it was just quick. It was efficient. Well, you know.
The problem, you know, and I understand the airlines are doing the best they can. They can't be making any money off of that. 50 people on a flight?
Yeah.
They're not making any money.
Now, the airport was busy. It wasn't packed, but it was busy. And some of the stores were open. Some of them were closed. I wanted to pull everyone and say, why are you traveling? You know, is there a funeral or are you just sick and tired of being at home? Is this business? Is this pleasure? And I don't know the answer to that. I would love to know why the people who were traveling were traveling. You know, I'll tell you this. We're in a very quiet area here. I haven't seen six people. I mean, it's just very, very quiet.
So did you just get away to get away or?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm glad you're there. Did you see American Idol last night? Oh, did you watch NASCAR? Did you watch the golf? We finally have live sports again.
I saw the golf. I missed the NASCAR, and I've heard about American Idol.
Well, the winner last night, and we have the audio, and oh my God, Just Sam is fantastic. Just Sam won last night. That's the name of the winner. Sam, could you play a little bit of Just Sam? And I believe the song is called Rise Up.
Okay.
Or not. Oh, there it is.
Broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out and move. Mountains, we gon' walk it out and move.
Isn't that beautiful?
Move. Yeah.
Apparently, that's available now to purchase if you want.
Yeah, I bet it is. Explain to me, how did they do this with kids at home singing if they don't like play piano? Do they provide the background music?
Yeah, they did. They did. They provided the music, and then they have to sing it live, you know, kind of like we're doing in a Zoom. The technology, Dana, that I think they had is clearly better than the Zoom. And nothing against Zoom, because Zoom has kind of saved this show a little bit. But they had much better technology. And, you know, and they're singing in real time. And, you know, Lionel Richie and Katy Perry and I can't remember who the other one is. I think it's Luke Bryan. They're all back at their houses. And then the people vote, and then Ryan Seacrest announces the winner at the end of the show, and it was Just Sam. And it's just a beautiful song. It's an absolutely beautiful song.
How old is she? I'm trying to see here. I'm on a link here.
She's over 18 because she's tattooed up.
21.
She's 21.
She's 21.
Subway singer from Harlem.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear there was some kind of, if you watch this live, was there some kind of controversy with Ryan Seacrest where he was kind of slurring his words and one of his eyes looked a little wonky? People went on Twitter and freaked out and said, are you having a stroke or a neurological episode? Here's what they're saying. Ryan did not have any kind of stroke last night. Like many people right now, he is adjusting to the new normal and finding work-home balance with the added stress of having to put on a live show from home.
Yeah, he's hammered.
What does that mean?
He's hammered.
Is that corporate speak for he got a little something in that cup, Ryan, during the show?
I don't know.
Eyes do not look okay.
Describe them, Sam. What do you mean?
The right one is wide open. And when I say wide open, like about to pop out of his head, and the left one is squinting. So.
Had a little pre-party. I mean, so what? I didn't see the show live last night. I just saw the highlights this morning. I didn't think he looked intoxicated, but.
Well, and he still does live with Kelly and Ryan thing. I mean, he does have a lot.
Well, he also does America's Top 40 on the weekends.
Yeah, that's too much. Too much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad he's okay.
Are those checks bouncing?
She's just Sam, and he was just hammered.
So when are you coming back? When are you coming back?
I don't know. I can't answer that, Scott.
Did you lose your mind on Friday when we got the memo that we're not going back in the building till September 1st?
Yeah, can we talk about that?
Go ahead.
So I did not see that email until about 5:45 or 5:50. I think you brought it up Friday. You dropped that turd bomb on me.
Sorry.
Right before the show ended.
Well, don't think I didn't call boss afterwards. And I said, listen, man, I can do this a little bit longer. She can't. No, I'm not. I am not kidding you. That was the conversation I had with the boss on Friday, right after we got off the air. Kelly and the kids were coming over, and they were bringing, like, you know, Jimmy John's and whatever.
Right.
And I figured I had about a 5 or 10 minute window, and we get that email that nobody's going back into the building until September 1st. And I'm like, oh, damn it. And so as soon as we get off the air on Friday, I called the boss, and he's like, you know how calm he is. I mean, the guy's got low blood pressure or something.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, hello? I go, hey, man, listen. I go, I can do this a little while longer. I probably got at least another month in me. I said, but Dana doesn't. I wish this was a joke. It's not. I said, I've got a month in me. Dana does not. You've got to get her back into that building. She is losing her mind. And he's like, I'm working on it. He's like, he's literally like the corporate version of like a deep thinking wizard or something. And I'm working on it. And I'm like, okay. I said, she can't do this, man. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? She's not going to make it.
Did you see Nick Haines on Twitter today, went back today to KCPT, okay? Mm-hmm. And he posted a bunch of photos of their, and it looks like a homicide scene out of CSI because someone has taken the caution tape, do not, like the actual crime scene tape, and just slathered it all over every single public space. So that, you know, this is going to change the break room. The water cooler moments. There's no water cooler anymore. You're going to have to bring your own snacks and your own water bottle because this thing is crime scene taped up like somebody just died at KCPT at 31st and Grand. So they went back today.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. She's Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. That good-looking, long-haired guy over there is Sam Stevie III here on KMBZ.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Your pops call you smoking man, he says
no way. No way.
Do you know why we're playing that, Scott?
Smokes two packs a day. Why?
Because the Chiefs just announced they have a new touchdown song. I didn't even know they had a touchdown song, but apparently they always have a touchdown song. And of course, the new touchdown song is going to be the Travis Kelce dictated, "You've Got to Fight for Your Right to Party."
That song is 34 years old, believe it or not.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
I will literally, and I'm not saying I'm wearing pants right now. I may or may not be wearing pants. If I am wearing pants, I will take them off and run down the street naked if you can tell me who plays lead guitar on that song.
Oh,
Can't do it, can you, kid?
I don't care, nor do I want to see you running down the street naked, so no.
Well, it would be Kerry King, the lead guitarist of Slayer, so.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Excuse me?
Never heard of him. Yeah. Sorry.
Crimes against humanity.
Sorry.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Story here from Bloomberg. As a side effect of COVID-19. Oh, by the way, hang on before I get into the story. We have Dr. Dana Hawkinson joining us at 3:15. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe we're working on, well, I don't believe because I know it because I'm working on it myself. We're trying to get the mayor on in the 5 o'clock hour because here in Kansas City, and I don't just mean Kansas City, I mean the metropolitan area, things are, whether you like it or not, slowly getting back to normal. Sarah just started her new job this morning at Brookridge Country Club.
Yeah.
I'm scared to death. But I got to let her do her thing. She's 19 years old, and that's a fact. A story here from Bloomberg. As a side effect of COVID-19, about 70% of the world's children are not sitting in a physical classroom anymore. The headline, by the way, is, "Your kids may never return to normal schooling." Okay. Here in Berlin this week, so obviously the story is from Germany, "My children started going back in a complex rotation of short and staggered shifts. Their class time for the remainder of this academic year is measured in hours, not in weeks. All over the world, and maybe for years to come, kids will spend much less time in brick and mortar schools. This rupture in traditional education could end very badly or surprisingly well. It's easier to make the pessimistic case, as I did in March, seemingly an eternity ago. The optimistic scenario, by contrast, dares imagine that we use the pandemic to reinvent our school systems. In normal school, as we've known it since the Industrial Revolution, teachers often waste a lot of time by lecturing students who are mostly passive, sometimes distracted, and not necessarily following along. Then they send the kids home to fill out worksheets before pushing ahead with the curriculum, whether the kids are caught up or not, and eventually subjecting them to a standardized test. In the flipped classroom, teachers are now being forced to shake things up. The children watch online lectures at home, either those of their teacher or of the best instructors of the world, and still at home. The kids also begin doing online exercises, which the teacher can monitor. By the time the youngsters show up in class, they are ready for the individual tutoring, as the teacher splits them into small groups or sits down one-on-one to extend knowledge, to fill in the gaps. Have we changed the way that we teach our children? Is this, and I hate the term, the new normal?
I think for some kids, it has worked beautifully, okay? My son, before I left, said to me, I don't mind the online learning. I kind of liked the online learning, but I've got to get back to school and my guys. He misses his guys. He misses his
friends.
Place
yeah.
where he lives. And he said, I could do online learning. He ended up with the highest GPA. He took 19 hours this semester and pulled a 3.6. Highest GPA he's had.
Are you talking? Oh, so you're talking about Jack?
Yes.
I thought you were
so
talking
about Jack. So for some people, this works very well. Mm-hmm. I think for other kids, it has been a disaster. Same thing with teachers. For some teachers, it worked great. For some other teachers, they're saying, get me back into the classroom. I think we will see a mix of both, Scott. Asking, I think we will see some online learning continue. But I also think we will get back to the traditional classroom, especially once we have a vaccine.
But do you mean, when you say get back, Dana, to the traditional classroom, do you mean the kids show up at 7:50 every morning, they come home at 3:30 every afternoon, the way it has always been? Or are you looking and thinking about some sort of bizarre, staggered, you know...
Hybrid.
Yeah, where one week your kid goes to school Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and on Tuesday, Thursday, they do online learning, and then the next week they come in on Tuesday and Thursday, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
yeah.
they do online learning.
I will tell you, especially for the high school kids, Scott.
Can I interrupt, if you don't mind,
yeah.
Before I get your thoughts? And where the students don't move, the teachers do.
Right. Right. I will tell you, for the high school kids, they will tell you this, and any parent of a high school kid will tell you this, they do not need to be in that chair from 8 to 3. They just don't. And Blue Valley's got this program where some of the kids go out and learn practical skills for life. You know, they have a lot of planning hours. They have a lot of study hours. You know, they could get done what they need to get done to graduate high school anyway, I think, in about half the time. In that chair, about half. And Sam, you're closer to this than we are. Did you really need to be in that chair 8 hours a day, 5 days a week?
Oh, absolutely not. But there are a few subjects that you really do need to be in person. Like if you're learning a foreign language and you're, you know, yep. in the higher level of that foreign language, you're not going to get anything out of talking to them online. You need to be face to face and learn those interactions. And like mathematics, like you can't really learn math unless you're already a math genius. Without the one-on-one help from the teacher.
Did you just say mathematics?
What about like band? I mean, that's the stuff, Scott, that I don't know what they're going to do with things like band. You've got to be in band to be in the band. you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't Zoom band.
True.
Very true. And I worry that band, those are the classes that aren't coming back right away.
But the band is not necessarily, and we got to get to the break, but maybe somebody can clear this up. When I hear the band out at Mill Valley, it's always at 7 o'clock in the morning when they're on the football
right.
field. They're not, I don't know if they're in a classroom at uh-huh. some point during the day where they're going, okay, let's go with the E class here. I have no idea what I'm.
Yeah, you have no idea what you're talking about. And
no.
yes, they do the early morning for marching band, and then there is also a band class.
Okay.
Okay. And I worry that those are going to go away for a while. I worry when we come back, they're going to say, you know, these big classes where everybody's shoved into a room blowing into their instruments.
576-7798, 576-7798. 7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. The news is next.
We don't need no education.
Yes, you do.
We don't need no thought control.
So, interesting story in Bloomberg today in the opinion section. Where somebody out in Germany is writing, and God, I hate the term new normal, but the way that we're teaching kids, and you've heard about, like, maybe in the fall we're going to go to staggered classes, and some kids are going to show up maybe on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the next week, Tuesday and Thursday. Some will show up in the morning, some will show up in the afternoon, and then they'll do the rest of the learning online. That the students won't move, the teachers will. They'll go from classroom to classroom instead of the kids moving from classroom to classroom. Lunch will be served in the classroom. They'll go to the lunchroom, get their lunch, and take it straight back. There will be this idea of a cafeteria could be gone, at least for the time being. Yep.
Think of the socialization the kids will miss out on with the whole cafeteria experience. I mean, there's an experience.
You'll basically know 30 kids in your class. And that's it.
Did you always have someone to sit with in the cafeteria?
Yes.
Sam?
That was cool.
Well, I transferred from Catholic school to public school my sophomore year in high school. So for the first 3 weeks of my sophomore year, I sat by myself in the lunchroom.
There is nothing worse, and I know people will say it's a character builder. There's nothing worse than a bad cafeteria experience.
Oh, I learned a lot in those 3 weeks.
Like how to pray the rosary or what?
How to eat alone.
How to eat alone. One time a teacher tried to sit next to me, and I asked them to politely not because I didn't think that was going to help my situation.
That just makes it worse. Oh, God.
He's now my favorite teacher from high school, but it was
fun. Well, but didn't your school have a program where they have somebody assigned to sit with the new kid?
No. Well, if they did, that assigned person did not sit with me.
Oh, Sam, I would have sat with you.
Nerd.
Why are you laughing? That is so sad. That is not funny. No one should have to eat alone.
I'm not laughing.
I look back and laugh at it now.
Our elementary school had something even for the peanut allergy kids. They had nut-free island. That's what they called it to make it sound like it wasn't so isolating. The nut-free island table. So, like, not only do the peanut-free kids already get ostracized, but we're going to make them sit at a table in the corner completely by themselves on nut-free island. God, elementary school's the worst. It's the worst. And middle school's even worse than elementary school.
Sam, to the phones, please.
Catherine in Overland Park.
Catherine, good afternoon. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Hello. Hi. So my husband and I are both in education, so we are just on the edge of our seats waiting to hear about what happens in the fall. Mm-hmm. But I'm really curious, with homeschooling always already being such a growing movement, how many people will just decide, I'm just going to do that if they have the option. I know everybody won't, but I already know one person who had her kids ready to go at her public school, but she had homeschooled before, and so I'm going to keep homeschooling them. Why bother dealing with the staggered schedule and if I'm going to end up homeschooling them anyways?
Yeah,
and I just think it's going to be interesting to see that happen.
Yeah, Catherine, she's probably good for that for 1 year, and then they'll be right back in your classroom, but Let me ask you this.
I don't know if that's true, because she homeschooled for years anyways, and she was excited to get them in for a variety of reasons, but I probably won't pay for my kid. My kid is in preschool, and it's private, so I pay for it, and we had the option to, like, not pay those last 2 months. Well, I still pay to support them, but I send him for the socialization, and so if he doesn't have that next year, I can teach in preschool. I have an education background, too. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who do things like that.
But, Catherine, let me ask you this. As an educator, your thoughts on, until we get a vaccine, on maybe the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then online on the days off, your thoughts on that and your thoughts on the teachers moving from classroom to classroom, not the students, and then the eating lunch in your classroom and not in the cafeteria. Your thoughts on that?
I've been reading, like, the Department of Missouri's recommendations for one. It's impossible to keep children apart. I'm really struggling with, if they're there, there's going to be contact. I'm really struggling with any of the, oh, we only eat here, there, or whatever. I mean, there's always situations with kids that come up, whether it's bathroom, my nose is bleeding, anything like that. And so All of those little contingency plans, to me, if they're there, they're there, and they're all going to be in contact at one point or another. I think it's just going to be impossible.
And then the question I keep asking is, what happens when there is one person who gets sick? Let's say it's a teacher
exactly.
or a janitor. Do you send everybody back home and we start all over for 2 weeks or 4 weeks? It's going to be a mess. And I'm with you. I read those Missouri education guidelines. It's pages and pages and pages long, Scott. And I don't see how it's going to work. Under those recommendations and guidelines, I don't see it working.
Catherine, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. Sam, I believe we have another caller on the line, if that's still true.
We do. Jim in Topeka.
Hey, Jim, what's going on, buddy?
Well, as you described the way that the class is going to run, it's reminiscent of the one-room school method, where you had a main teacher who taught the subject in the most intricate, and then it broke down into smaller groups and was taught by other people that could bring people up to speed. So it ended up customizing the education for those who were on the fast track because they could learn quickly, or it took care of people that were slow learners because they could break it down into the smaller classes. So I see this with a great deal of hope, to where that it's not sitting there polishing pebbles and dulling diamonds. It has a chance to fit the educational needs for the child if we will allow it. So it's go back and find that how that one-room school was taught, how that they allocated their time, how they did that, and it may be a solution for our schools now.
Jim, good to hear your voice, my friend.
I know, I'm just as insane as I've always been, but anyway.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That is correct. All right, buddy. Hey, be well, okay? Be safe. Okay. 576-7798, 576-7798. More of Dana and Parks here in just a moment. Don't forget Dr. Dana Hawkinson with KU Hospital joining us right after the 3:15 break, I believe it is. And then the mayor of Kansas City, I think I've got it confirmed, will be joining us at 5:45 this afternoon here on Dana and Parks. I don't think I can take your show anymore. My head hurts from the stupidity. Young people can go to school. My two college students have already confirmed they will be back in class. Stop the insanity. Is this for ratings? No, it's not. We don't do anything for ratings. They just happen.
Read the story from CNN.
I will in just a second. I need not remind you that Cal State, which is the largest school system in the entire country, announced, and I'm not trying to be alarmist, I'm just trying to report the news, which is what I do. I'm a journalist. I care about the news. Cal State announced last week that they are shutting down all, I believe, 21 of their campuses, if I'm not mistaken, for the fall. They'll go online. And during the break, CNN reported that South Carolina, the University of South Carolina, is going to do face-to-face instruction through fall break, which actually is not Thanksgiving. It's in October. After fall break, which is a week, they are moving to online learning after fall break. Wait. Now, Dana, you said to me during the break, well, why would they do that? Because it is widely thought that at that point the virus will come back. And not that it's left us, but it will come back for a second wave, if you will.
They're going to ask parents to send their kids for essentially 8 weeks.
Correct.
And then rip the rug back out from under everybody.
Correct.
That yes. is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life.
And to the person who just wrote in saying, you know, that A, we're stupid, KU is not going to tell you right now we're not going to be doing in-person teaching, we're going to online teaching. They're not going to do that. And I don't know if they will or won't. But if they've already, if, they've already decided that they're going to online learning in the fall, they're not going to tell you that now. Because that would give you the opportunity to pull your kid out of the university and put them in Johnson County Community College or KCK Community College. They're not going to tell you right now, hey, you know, we know you're paying for the college experience and the socialization and
the football. Some of it, Scott, is going to vary by region. Like the kids at NYU are probably not going back. But the kids in some cities and communities where the infection rates have been lower probably will try to go back. But to your point, Cal State, all of the California state system schools, where they have many, many, many more dense populated areas and many, many, many more students.
And I believe that's 21 campuses. I may be mistaken.
They have more cases out there because of the way people flock to that state. It's not surprising to me that that system has said, we're not going to try it.
Okay. Sam, can we go to the phones if we have one?
Jim in Sibley.
Jim in Sibley, Missouri. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Dana.
Hi.
I live in the largest school district in Jackson County, in area, that is. That's Fort Osage School District. Busing is critical to this district making it happen out here. What has been said about what happens on the buses in the guidelines? Anything?
Man, that's a great question. How do you put all those kids on a bus?
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a huge expense to our district, you know, covering acres and acres out here.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's tough.
No. What are you
going
to do?
Well, Jim, I think what he's asking is, without bus service, are you saying the school cannot run?
Yeah. I don't know how the kids are going to, you know. How can we get to school? I spent lots of hours on the bus out here many years ago, and, you know, I can't see how it could happen any other way. Maybe some carpooling system? I don't know.
Whew.
Okay.
And Dana?
Yeah?
In your reading, have they addressed transportation to the schools at all in any of the giant PDFs out there?
Yep, I'm going to go back and look up, I'm actually doing it right now, the Missouri guidelines, because I don't remember seeing anything about the buses, and that's a great, great question. How if we're going to be practicing social distancing, how do you do that on a school bus?
Well, I've been amazed that they still run the Metro buses around right now. I was shocked. Now, I understand, you know, people have to get to work. Some people don't have cars. I understand that. But I was shocked. Now, I still have yet to see anybody on one of these buses, but the buses are still running here in Kansas City. But whatever. Scott, get your facts straight. This person writes in. Where did it go? They're going to apparently... This doesn't make any sense. They're canceling fall break. That is correct. I didn't mention that, and I should have. That was my mistake. And will hold in person until Thanksgiving. That's not what I read on CNN, but I'll double-check the story when we go to break.
But even then, why try it?
It doesn't
and
change
Scott,
anything.
Why announce now that after Thanksgiving break, they're going to go back to online? And I understand what you're saying, that they think it might resurge. It might. It also might not. They don't know.
You know what? Thank God we have Dr. Dana Hawkinson coming on at 3:15. And we can ask him.
Amen to that.
Amen. The telephone number here, as always, is 576-7798, 576-7798. Did you go golfing today?
I did not today, huh?
What are you going to do down there?
Sit and do nothing.
You're in hog heaven, aren't you?
Not look at her kids.
Literally nothing. Oh, I miss the kids. Really do. But it's hard to do less than I've done in the last 48 hours.
Who are you down there with?
One of my dearest friends.
Does the dear friend have a name?
Amy. Yeah, Amy's down here with me.
Amy.
Well, I'm not your last name.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you're there. I think you definitely needed this break. Oh, did you watch the Jordan show last night?
No, but was it as good as the other ones have been?
Oh, better. Better.
Did is it over?
Yeah, last night was the end.
Okay.
Did you know, I was watching Good Morning America today, and they were pointing out, I mean, this is a godsend, this virus, and I say that with some air quotes, of course, for ESPN. The average NBA game on ESPN gets 1 million viewers.
Okay.
The Jordan Show, I know the real name is The Last Dance, but The Jordan Show, which is what it's really about, is averaging 6.5 million viewers per episode. Seriously.
I mean, I guarantee you my husband watched it last night, and my kids have been
through it. Oh, it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Isn't it funny how there can be some shows and you know how it's going to end? Hello. I said that about Wade. Why am I watching this? I know how it's going to end. It's going to end with a big old fire and a bunch of dead people inside, but yeah. I couldn't stop watching it. And that's the same thing with Last Dance. You know the story. So why is it so compelling?
Because you didn't know the behind the back story. And I'll be honest with you. I still think Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. What a jerk.
Really?
Yes. It changed the way I thought about Michael Jordan, and not in a good way.
But didn't he say he had to be a jerk to be the leader, and to be the leader and to win, somebody has to be the jerk?
And I agree with him on that, but that doesn't mean you're not a jerk. You have to be tough to win. And he was asked at one point regarding his gambling issues. And this was a couple of episodes ago. They're like, do you have a gambling problem? He goes, no, I have a competition problem. And I was like, ooh, that's a good way to put it. Telephone number here is 576-7798. Dr. Dana Hawkinson with KU Health Systems joining us at 3:15 this afternoon. The mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas, will join us at 5:45. The news is next here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.